Welcome back, Missio family. Today, you'll hear from our guest speaker, Michael Mart, about how God is great, so I don't have to prove myself. If you have any questions about Missio, you'd like to join a missional community, or you have any prayer requests, please contact us at missio.life.
Well, good morning. If you're wondering who the Michael is, that's me. Nice to meet you. Before I start to just dive into our talk, I figured I'd introduce myself and share a little bit about me today with the rest of you. So I'm the middle child. I have an older brother and younger sister. And yes, the middle child syndrome does exist. If you don't know what it is, you're obviously not a middle child, and I understand. So growing up, we moved around a lot. My dad was an auditor for the Air Force. We weren't military, we were civilians still, so we didn't grow up living on a base. But we lived in Sturgis, South Dakota, three different times. We lived in Omaha, Nebraska. We spent 3 years in Bitburg, Germany, lived down by St. Louis, Missouri for a few years, and I ended up in Valva, North Dakota, where I went to high school. That's up by Minot. I attended NDSU, go Bison, right, Wistoffs? Oh, we still got only one here. Where I met my beautiful wife, Stephanie. So we've been married, she says, 12 years, so I'll take that as truth. And we're the crazy family that you hear about with three kids that are 8 months apart. I can't remember what I ate yesterday or anything about it. As you can imagine, life's pretty crazy in our house, but we love every minute of it. So if you hear a baby crying or a kid screaming, it's probably mine. Calm them down, get them to stop crying, and then bring them back to me. I don't want them in their crying stage. We get that enough at home. So a few months ago, we took some family pictures, and I think I got one here for you. I think this sums it up pretty well. Charlie, our oldest, he's 14 months. He is signing food because he eats constantly, and this is all he does is goes around and tells you what foods. I love coming home at the end of the day because he runs to the door to greet me. Our two girls, twin girls, Brooklyn and Caitlin, they're 6 months. When one screams, the other one screams. And it is just crazy. But man, they give the best cuddles. You know, I like when they're just fussy at night and I get to hold one and she just cuddles up to me. It's so nice. My wife, Stephanie, you can see she's the one trying to keep the peace. Shushing the babies, trying to keep everything organized. I call her super mom. And then there's me. I just smile because I don't know what else to do, you know? So enough about me for the moment. I'll share more of my story throughout this morning. But we've been in the series called The Four G's. Josh, 2 weeks ago, talked about how God is great, so I don't have to be in control. Last week, he talked about how God is good, so I don't have to look elsewhere. And today, we're going to dig to how God is gracious, so I don't have to prove myself. So that's what we're going to dig into. God is gracious, so I don't have to prove myself. And I think to start, let's just look at our heart, right? For probably most people in this room, we always feel the need to prove ourselves just to ourselves, right? Maybe we want to achieve something or meet some goal in our life. Maybe it's to our families that we have the best kids. We're still working on that one. Maybe it's your friends, how successful you are in life, right? You're always comparing. Or even at your job. I think that's the worst because every year you get evaluated just how good you are and if you're doing things right, right? Terrible. How about God? How many of you read your Bible saying, God, if I read my Bible, you'll just bless me more in life? So let's dig into some of those. You know, for me, my heart, I have to prove myself to myself a lot. I have lots of hobbies. I do knife making, I do reloading, axe throwing. Those are the dangerous ones. But I also do 3D printing, welding, woodworking, automotive, home projects. The list goes on. My wife the other day asked me, why do you have so many hobbies? You don't continue doing them. You don't get really good at them. And I'm like, well, I just want to prove to myself that I can do something. And once I do that, I move on to the next thing because I feel like I have to prove to myself that I can do something else. And the list goes on and nothing really satisfies. And what I'm left with is a garage full of tools, which I'm not complaining about, and a bunch of supplies that are taking up space in my house that I don't know what to do with anymore. You know, how about our heart when we want to prove ourselves to others? We want to impress others so that we may feel validated or important, included or accepted, right? Let's take our jobs, for example. How many of you put in overtime just so your boss might see you so that you can get that big raise? Or do you brag to your other employees over lunch just how successful one of your projects were? You know, most of us have probably gone through a job interview. We sit before people, and we just have to prove to them how good we might be at something. I just went through that a few weeks ago. And how awkward is it? You know, sitting in a job interview, you have people sitting in front of you, and you're saying, I'm really good at something. This is the time to do it, right? They're asking you questions. They're saying, how good are you at such and such a thing? And here I am, before I say anything, I said, well, I don't want to be boastful. I'm trying to prove to them that I'm a good person again, before I even tell them how good I am at something. I just was kind of blown away after that, thinking about how much effort goes into those. How about our heart when we try to prove ourselves to God? You know, I find myself telling God things like, hey, I'm helping out at church, I'm volunteering around town, I read my Bible, I pray to you, I'm living a good life for you, God. Now, because I'm doing all these things, will you love me? Will you bless me? Will you give me this one thing, just this one time? We think that if we can do more, work harder, be better, that God will do more things for us. We try to live in a way that God will be impressed by us and will bless us and be happy with us. Our heart starts to minimize how big and gracious God actually is. See, there's so much around us these days that we want to look good for. Maybe we don't have to be the best, but we want to look better than somebody else maybe. And we focus more on what we have to achieve and look like, and we forget to just rest in how gracious God is and has been to us. Our heart starts to change from accepting God, God's love and blessings, to proving to God that we deserve his love and blessings. We fall into a habit of working harder and a mentality of have to do something attitude. Richard Lovelace wrote, Christians who are no longer sure that God loves and accepts them in Jesus, apart from their present spiritual achievements, are subconsciously radically insecure persons. Their insecurity shows itself in pride, a fierce defensive assertion of their own righteousness, and defensive criticism of others. They cling desperately to legal righteousness, but envy, jealousy, and other branches of the tree of sin grow out of their fundamental insecurities. This was so true in my life. See, growing up for me, I wanted to spend as much time with my dad as possible. But as a middle child, it was kind of always hard to stand out. And I always felt that I needed to work hard to prove myself to my dad so that he would want to spend time with me. I felt that if my dad would spend time with me, that life was as it should be. He'd be proud of me. I'd be happy. It was in my high school time that I remember wanting this approval the most. And at the end of each game, I really wanted him to just say that I did well. Because I wanted this so badly, I worked hard at sports and at school. But I was never a starter. I was never a standout athlete, unlike my dad. And I always felt like I had failed his expectations of me. And I realized that I wasn't ever going to get that, because I wouldn't be good enough to receive his praise. So we're going to stop and pause for questions. If you're new here, we do this quite frequently. So the first question is, where do you feel the pressure to perform in life?
Definitely as a mom, basically stupid. So you look on that and you're like, oh man, you're doing so much and your kids are so perfect and, you know, you think you have to do more. If you do more, you can be a better mom somehow.
Yeah, as parents, I'm learning that too.
In my own head, thinking too much, overanalyzing. You gotta do it right, you can fumble on.
Yeah, your own head. Yeah. Yeah, as we get older, different.
You're always trying to appear if you're not aging, or that you're not crippled up, those type of things.
Yeah. How about the next question? Why do you try to prove yourself to God? What are you trying to get?
I think for me, I was trying to prove myself so that he would love me. But I realized because of his grace, he just loves me, right? And I don't have to do it anymore. And that was so freeing for me to just, that was why I was doing it. I just wanted to be loved by him. And my girl, stop it. So, yeah.
Yeah, we want to be loved by God. It's a good one. Yeah.
I feel like I have a mission to prove to God. And every time I mess up or I sin, I feel like, you know, because of my calling.
Because we might have a mission that we feel called to, yeah. So our thing for today, our G for today, is God is gracious. Psalm 116 says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful." Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." How great is it that we have a God that's always righteous and merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, while being gracious at the same time in all of that? You know, if we have a God like this, why do we then ever feel the need that we have to prove ourselves to him? So here's a shocking truth. Without faith, people never do anything out of love to God, but only out of self-love or fear of others. See, we do things that look like good works. Maybe we go to church. Maybe we help somebody move. We read our Bible. We give money to the homeless guy in the corner. But in fact, they reflect a belief that the best way to receive God's love or prove myself to others is through what I do. And I'm not saying these things are bad things. These are good things. But we begin to think of ourselves as a better savior than Jesus. We think we must finish off what Christ has left undone. And that's why Jesus in John 6 says, "The work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent." There's only one thing God wants us to do, have faith in his son, right? Everything else flows from that. Much easier said than done, right? See, God's graciousness overflows with Jesus, who changes everything for us. God didn't have to send his son. He didn't have to forgive us. He doesn't have to love us. He doesn't have to bless us. But God wants to. Not only does he want to, he gets to. And there's nothing that we need to do to show him to receive that. Because God is gracious. Because of Jesus, you know, we now get to be in the presence of God without sin, right? And if God doesn't see our sin anymore, then we have nothing to prove. We now get to be with God, be in his presence, free from the fear of being judged. So to continue with my story, when I was in college, I was listening to a speaker talk about God and God's desire to have a relationship with me. You know, I often thought about God and thought that this would be a good thing. But I also thought, if I couldn't prove to my own dad just how good I was, how would I ever be able to prove to God that I am worthy of him? But the speaker talked about how God doesn't require anything of that from us, that we don't need to fight for God's approval. He explained how God just wants us to be there as we are. And I was thinking, the thought that God didn't want anything from me other than me the way that I am was something that nobody had ever told me about. I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulder for the first time, that I didn't need to fight for somebody's approval. As I thought about it more, I just started to realize how much work and effort and time of my own life was spent trying to prove myself to others and to gain their acceptance. See, God started to show me just how much I wanted this even from my own dad, But my dad was just as sinful as I was, and I would never be able to get that from him. I came to see how gracious a father that we have in heaven that really, truly required nothing of me. So if God is gracious, I don't have to prove myself anymore, right? We get to be free of that. We no longer need to prove ourselves to anybody or God. And I think Matthew 7 really highlights this well. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives. He who seeks finds. And he who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? So if you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? See, when we no longer feel the need to prove ourselves to God, we get to start living in the presence free of worry, free of pressure, free of judgment. This verse doesn't say, you know, show me a list of all the things that you did good in life before you come to me and ask. God says, no, ask freely, and I will be gracious, and I'll give it to you. The verse doesn't say, you know what, if you want to receive God's love, you must first love everybody else first perfectly. No, God says, seek out my love, and it's there for you. We get to rest knowing that God, who is good, right, and perfect, will always give us good gifts. Gifts that are far better than anything that we could ever imagine or achieve on our own. And how great is that? Tim Chester says, without grace, we view life as a contract between us and God. We do good works, and in return, he blesses us. When things go well, we're filled with pride. But when things go badly, either we blame ourselves and feel guilty, or we blame God and feel bitter. Because we often leave God out of our explanations, this anger against God often feels ill-defined. We're not even sure why we're angry, but the contract or covenant between us and God already reads, paid in full by the blood of Jesus. Only when we grasp God's grace, we are free to serve him for his own sake, not for a reward. I love that. You know, I was asked this question once. If you were standing before God and could see his face, what would his expression be? Some of you might say sadness. Some of you might say frustration. You know, the fact is, if you see anything other than a smile and joy on his face, you're minimizing what God has already done, that everything has been paid in full by the blood of Jesus. Because of what God has done through Jesus, there's nothing more that we need to do to prove ourselves to him, to prove ourselves to God. So we're going to pause again for two more questions. The first one is, what changes in your life when you no longer feel the need to prove yourself to others? Peace. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Freedom when there's not a scoreboard. I like that. How about the next question? How does your relationship with God change when you no longer have to prove yourself to him?
We shut this off. We shut our mind off on all the self-talk. We can hear him and see him.
Yeah. See, I felt like I had to prove myself to you today. I was worried about what I was going to wear. Do I wear a collared shirt? Do I just wear a t-shirt? Like, man, if I don't wear the right thing, they may not hear what God has to say. Really, what difference does my clothes make on what God's going to do here today, right? I don't need to live in fear of that. I don't need to prove anything to you. So I want to end with the last part of my story. You know, after God started showing me that I no longer needed to prove myself, I began to allow the desire of my dad's approval to not control the time that I spent with him in our relationship. I would now get to be with my dad free of worrying about whether he was proud of me or not. It's not always perfect. you know, I still try to fight for that at times, but I remind myself that God is gracious and he's always proud of me and I don't need to prove myself. So I do hope that you'll find at least one thing from today that you'll take out of this and remind yourself that God is gracious, so I don't have to prove myself. So I'm going to invite the band to come back up. They're going to lead us in our last song in communion. If you didn't get a cup when you came in, just raise your hand and someone will get one to you, but let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that you are gracious, that you being gracious, it doesn't require anything from us. You don't want anything more from us, that you just give this freely. Father, I ask that your Spirit would work in our hearts to break down those walls where we feel like we need to prove ourselves, whether it's to us, to other people, to you, Father, that you would just remind us that you love us the way we are, that you want us just to be in your presence. In your name, amen.
Michael used some discussion questions throughout the service. Where do you feel the pressure to perform in life? Why do you try to prove yourself to God? What changes in your life when you no longer feel the need to prove yourself to others? How does your relationship with God change when you no longer have to prove yourself to Him? Thanks for listening, Missio family, and we'll see you again next week.